Okay, welcome everybody. This is Tim Emerson from Kuan Yin Healing, and we are ready to start the reconnective journey. Woohoo! we're here in week one, stepping into being, and I want to kind of just kind of ground us a little bit and see where we're going here. We're going to set a lot of foundation stuff today. So the reconnective journey has, of course, four main parts here. The reconnection itself, which most of you have been through and the rest of you are getting into. And so I don't need to go into that. The Facebook group, which half of you have joined. And I want to really strongly invite you to join the Facebook group. And here's why. There's one of the things that people repeatedly tell me when I talk to them later after the reconnection is, well, there's this really big thing that happened to me and I can't really talk to anybody about it. And here we have a group full of people that you can talk to about it because they know exactly what you're talking about. And so the community in that sense. And second, we're going to be going through a lot of things in the next 8 weeks. And again, it's going to be extremely useful to have people that you can talk to about it. And also it's very useful to be able to respond to other people and help them with it. So even if you're a total loner, severely anti-Facebook, I've seen several forums, and it's just simply the one that works the best. So I would just invite you to consider to set your privacy settings on stun and join this one group. And as soon as many people are as in, who apparently are going to, I'll change the group, which is already a closed group, to a secret group, which means nobody even knows the group exists once it's secret. You can't even search for it. So that's a really important part of this process. Then the third part, of course, are these teleseminar calls, which are being recorded. And in fact, I'm experimenting here with some dictation software, so I'm hoping that in a few days I can even put together a transcript. So cross your fingers on that. And then, of course, the group healing aspect. Every one of the calls is going to follow by a group healing. And if you're listening to the recording, I'm told by people that who have listened to recordings that they just kind of relax.
Selena?
That I also are feeling it. Hi, Selena.
Hi.
So, we have quite a range of people in here from Canada, from the UK, from US, and obviously not all of them will be on the call because it's midnight in the UK, so it's a little late to be listening to a teleseminar. And we've got people from six different decades, age-wise, from an extremely wide range of professions. So it's really quite a group. I'd like to take a few minutes and just have people introduce themselves, if you would, if you're not overly shy, and just tell us, your name, just a little bit about you, and what brought you here. So anybody brave want to step up and volunteer?
I will. This is Selena.
Hi, Selena.
Hi. So I am based in Waterloo, Ontario, in Canada, about an hour west of Toronto. And I have been on an interesting journey in the last few years in particular. What's brought me here is I spent some time in the last few months digging really deep within myself to really unearth a lot of things I've been shoving away in deep. And I got far enough along that I decided to join and work with Tim to help release some more of those things and really just help shift me into the next place where I need to be to start realizing a lot of my visions for my life and my business on a bigger scale. So my business work has professionally spanned the IT world and software, and it really looks at transforming individuals and organizations in a big way, and connecting that together with my own side work of I do some Reiki healing and a lot of time outdoors in nature and growing things. So just finding a way to bring it all together.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Who else? Volunteers.
I'll volunteer. My name is Latresa, and I work at the Ascended Masters, and in my day job, I'm an IT recruiter for a large global company in Northwest Arkansas, and I am excited to be here and to be a part of Tim's group and all of the fabulous things that we're going to learn along the way, so I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, don't be shy.
Hi, this is Janine. I'm calling from the beautiful Washington State.
Hi, Janine.
Hi. I don't know what to say about myself. I was just instantly drawn to Kuan Yin healing and what Tim is doing. I took a huge leap of faith by... I just left my place of work, and she came out with a phone and, like, showed me the phone, so that's why I was laughing. Kind of funny. I am here because I'm in a huge transition in my life. I am actually a healer myself, and I just feel like I'm moving through sludge. And so this was the perfect time for me to do that. Like his headline, Get Unstuck, I don't know what else. That's kind of the thing that resonates the most with me. So
yeah.
I'm Janine. So I'm glad to be here.
Welcome. Well,
I'm Sandy, and I'm from Connecticut, and I can definitely know where you're at. You know, I'm very much in the same place as far as, you know, being on a new journey and, you know, in this world to find my way back and being stuck and hopefully getting unstuck and moving forward and, you know, I'm a healer also, and just, you know, looking for the missing pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Carol.
Carol?
I retired from a corporate job in 2006. I was a facilities designer. And after I retired, I just decided, you know, what is my path supposed to be? There's got to be something more than this. Retirement just doesn't seem like a good word. So I've been on a journey for a number of years, and in January of 2011, I was in a serious automobile accident. And I thought I was on a correct path. That automobile accident was like a wake-up call that said, no, you haven't got it quite right yet. You've got to do some more looking. And after that, I started investigating a lot of self-help healing modalities like quantum touch, the emotion code. And then I read Dr. Eric Pearl's book, and it struck a chord. It said, this just seems so right, like the perfect thing. And I was having residual problems from the accident, so I went online, looked for a practitioner in my area, and Tim was the closest one, so I signed up for a healing session. And lo and behold, I experienced significant changes, positive changes. And I thought, I've got to follow through with this, find out more. I have to do this and spread the word, because it's important that people know that they can help heal themselves. So that's why I'm here.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Who else?
This is Lori Bogard.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, I'm from Akron, Ohio. I have been trying to find myself. I have been bringing things forward in my journey, but I seem to sabotage myself a lot. I am a healer. I love to serve people with Reiki, UN, EFT, and Emotion Code. I design my own jewelry. I design jewelry for people, and have my own alterations business.
Very cool. Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Molly. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in Northern California, and I had the delightful experience of being exposed to Tim's work last summer when we were both in the same online course, and then just happening to sit next to him in a crowd of 400 people a couple of months ago at an event in California. And so we had a chance to talk a lot about the work that he does, and so I was eager to try it again. And since he had this whole package, I wanted to do this as well. I'm a life coach. In the last 5 years, I've gone through two intensive experiential and transformational programs for both a master's degree in psychology and my training for life coaching. And so I'm looking forward to what I can discover and deepen and grow by going through this program.
Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm Colleen.
Colleen?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I live in Alberta, Canada. And, I've been, I guess, searching for a while. And maybe 6 weeks ago, really decided I was going to be more intentional and in looking and finding what I need. And so I, you know, happened across your work on the internet and felt really right. And I had taken the basic course of reconnective healing a couple of years ago. So knew that I wanted to do some more completion around that and some getting unstuck, moving ahead. And I too am a healer and want to heal more myself.
Nice. Thank you. Okay, just a few people left. Do you want to jump in?
Hi, this is Heather.
Hi, I'm Tesla. I'm only 13, but I'm homeschooled also. And I guess what brought me here was that my mom knew about this kind of distance healing and all sorts of energy work. And so once after my mom got her healing, then I decided that this was something that I'd really like to have done, and it's really changed my whole life. It's really changed it in a positive way, and I'm so happy that I'm doing this, and I'm really looking forward to this journey.
Awesome. Thanks, Tesla. Is Heather here, your sister?
Yes. She's almost here. This is Eileen. I'm
Tesla. Hi, Eileen.
And what started out as I think I'll take care of myself and get a healing on my birthday turned out to be this really incredible journey in which my two teenage daughters are participating with me. And it's been absolutely fantastic and really excited about this.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much. Glad to have you all with us.
Wow.
Say hi. Hurry up.
Hi, my name is Heather. I'm Eileen's daughter. I'm 15. I'm almost 16. And I got into this through my mom. And, yeah, I'm really excited to do it.
Very cool, Heather. Glad you're with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Isn't it? Yeah, we have a wide range in the other inches, you know. Way up in the 60s, and well, not way up. It's like I'm almost there myself, but yeah, it's really very cool. Do we miss anybody yet?
Yeah, yes. So this is Heather in Boston.
Uh huh.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's see. I'm just excited to see what sort of this next chapter is. I've let go of everything I could possibly let go of, and really open to everything lining up and trusting in this whole process and being present with it. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, awesome. So those who don't know what Heather's talking about, Heather has recently done something I did a while ago, which is stand up and walk away from a corporate gig. So, yeah, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been trying, especially since I've given a 3-month notice, because that's the right thing to do for my clients and a long, you know, career with them going back to 98. And right now I'm having to contact 500 plus client relationships and talk about my commitment to myself and my decisions. And it's really been interesting conversations, and having to look in that mirror every time I have one of 500 conversations about what I'm choosing to do. This is I'm really needing this journey to support that next month and a half as I go through that. So thank you, Tim, for hosting.
Oh, you're very welcome. And yeah, there's real power in a group as well. Okay. Who's left?
Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm north of Boston, and I'm here in part because of Heather, who is amazing, who is an amazing body worker herself, and I'm so glad that she's left her corporate gig. But I am a massage therapist and yoga instructor. I'm also a mother. And I have been doing a lot of work, some of it on my own, some of it in different circles and groups, a lot of it using our technology through conference calls and the internet, and have really set out on a path where I am very excited about what the next chapter really brings. I guess I am still, I am discovering that I'm still holding on to some stuff that I've really started to identify and be really clear about, you know, picking out from me and seeing where things don't benefit me in my life, beliefs that I've held, responses that I have, or triggers that I have, and I'm really ready to just let them go for once and for all and really move through them to live really in the image of my highest self and in the path that's the truest to my heart. I'm seeing right now how that trueness to myself and following my heart is really how I will also be the best parent and best partner in my relationships, you know, my closest relationships, as well as being very excited and eager to develop the parts of my business and the parts of each segment of my life more fully in that. So I'm very excited to do this, and I have not, I just scheduled my reconnection sessions for this weekend, so this is very exciting to be starting off here, very, very new in this process.
Awesome. Thank you. Welcome.
Okay. Hi, this is Linnea.
Hi, Linnea.
Okay, I finally am responding.
Yay.
I've been pursuing alternative information, if you will, since about the year 2000, and I've acquired all kinds of knowledge. And when a friend told me about this and I read Dr. Pearl's book, I felt that was that Tim and the reconnection and this journey were my next step, and I'm not sure it's any place a planned step, but I think it's the next thing I have to do as I'm pursuing this information course I'm on. And so far, it's been very, very interesting. So thank you, Tim.
You're welcome. I didn't plan this journey either.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that the fun part?
Yeah.
Hi, okay, this is Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, yes. I'm in the education field, and This past few months I've been really feeling like I'm stuck, and I've been trying to figure out what to do until when a friend recommended this to me, it sounded perfect, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where I'm going to go and how I'm going to change.
Great. What, if you don't mind sharing, where do you teach?
I am in charge of a tutoring center at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I teach writing Tuesdays and Thursdays at professional writing at one of the colleges around here. And I was telling my office mate about what I'm up to, and he goes, you're not coming back in August, are you? we'll see. okay, anybody else?
Hi, this is Pam. I'm from
Pam. Denver.
Hi. And I'm just on this learning adventure and looking forward to this group journey.
Thanks, Pam. Glad you're with us, too.
Thank you.
Let's see, did we get everybody?
Hey, Tim. Wendy? This is Heather again.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. I wanted to mention something about before we all started talking, and I don't know if anybody else was having this issue, but there was like a beeping that was going on throughout your whole initial presentation, and it seems to have subsided as we're talking. But if anybody else hears that besides me, maybe when we get rolling, we could identify it.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything.
Nobody else is hearing anything? Okay.
I think it was the beeping when it came in.
Just when early on or...
It's when people are entering the call.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That could be what it was. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
If someone drops off the line, it'll also beep.
Okay. Got it.
It's when all of us got our wings.
There we go.
Okay. Anyone else want to step up? I think we've got almost everyone. Going once, going twice. Okay. Then I guess I will jump in, and I'm going to mute everybody while I talk for a while, and then I'll come up for air and questions in a couple of different times. So may the force be with you. Good luck.
Bye.
So... yeah, I'm so glad you're all here. I've been putting this together for the last year, and I'm so excited that we're finally here and making it all happen. So we want different things to happen. And if we want different things to happen, we'll have to do different things. I'm actually starting to think of what I'm doing in Kuan Yin healing as a movement. And particularly the heart of this movement is that to share that we are meant to be happy and healthy, that this is our natural state. And the only reason that we aren't generally always happy and healthy is that we don't allow ourselves to do that. And that the real trick is to get ourselves out of the way. This is a large part of what the reconnection does. And so this process then of getting into being happy and healthy, to allowing, to getting ourselves out of the way, is a process of both understanding and of awareness. So first, understanding. I'm going to share with you just for a minute a poem I'm sure all or most of you know by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no feet had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now, the interesting thing about this poem is that if I were to ask everyone the title, the answer that I would probably get and most frequently get is The Road Less Traveled. But that's not the name of this poem. The name of this poem is not The Road Less Traveled. It's The Road Not Taken. It's a poem about the road that he didn't take. And when we look carefully at the poem, it tells us a lot about human nature and about how we process things. You know, we can't go both roads, so the first thing we do is look down and see where they bend, so we kind of weigh the pros and cons. And then the author tells us he took the other as just as fair and had perhaps a better claim because it was grassy. But as for that, the passing had won them really about the same. And then he admits, both that morning equally lay in leaves no feet had trodden black. They're exactly the same. There is no difference between these two paths. And yet, when he's looking back, ages and ages hence, he says, two roads diverged in the wood. So what happened? Well, I took the one less traveled by. Yeah, that's it. And that made all the difference. We have this natural tendency to justify our decisions and our behavior, even in defiance of the facts that we know. And in some ways, there are big ways. Certainly, a lot of you already know I spent a number of years wasted in alcoholism and coming back from that, but also in many, many small ways, in a number of ways. And I point this out here because to get us started, because we can frequently say something like, I know what to do. I hear this a lot from frustrated people in all different situations. I know what to do. And here's the thing. If that were really true, we'd be getting different results. Both of us, we have a perceived reality. We see what we think, not what really is. And I want to repeat that. We have a perception, a perceived reality. And we see what we think, not what is really there. Lauren Isley in The Cosmic Prison has a wonderful analogy for this. He compares humankind in the cosmos to a white blood cell in a cat. And no matter what this white blood cell tries to do and studies and accomplishes, it will always be limited to what it can experience traveling through the veins of a cat. It will have no concept of the world outside of it and how the universe and things like that. And this, Isley argues, is the human state. In fact, this state of every creature, you know. When my dog and I go for a walk, you know, my dog said dogs have smell that is 10,000 times more acute than humans. I can't even imagine what my dog's world is like, you know, and vice versa. And here's the problem for us then. When we're looking at the world, how do we then try to make sense of a world that we're not even perceiving as it is, but rather the way that we are? So when we start from our ordinary world, right away, before we leave our ordinary world, there's a problem. And that is that our ordinary world is one of illusion. The world that we're comfortable with, the one that's okay, I fit here, it's good, it's a fiction. It doesn't actually exist. It's what Don Miguel Ruiz calls the mitote. It's a personal fog. It's the dream of the planet. So here's the thing. All this, I know what to do, you know, I'm just kind of stuck here. We are not on top of this, or we'd be having better results. We can't do this by ourselves and acknowledge that we don't know what to do. We need help. And as long as we are stuck on this point, I know this is a basic point, and I'm going to make a lot of basic points in the next 8 weeks and go beyond them. But as long as we are stuck on this basic point, we'll be stuck forever. This is like the key thing to recognize, is that perceived reality and reality are not the same. I think I know, and I think I recognize the situation, but if I did, I wouldn't be stuck where I'm stuck. So we can't do this by ourselves because we don't know what to do. We need help. Now, here's the problem. The ego comes rushing in and says, no, I got this, right? I have several images in my head of younger days out playing baseball and some guy going, I got it. And then, it runs into a wall or something. He still totally doesn't have it. And the truth is that, in fairness, you probably have parts of it or even most of the parts of it. We have very accomplished, beautiful people here who have studied a lot, who have learned a lot, who have experienced a lot. And, I'm in awe of this group. Think carefully when I put things like this together. But it would be kind of like putting together a car, and it's a beautiful car, and all the parts are just wonderful and carefully assembled, but it's only 95% there, or it's 99% there, okay? And if that wonderful, wonderfully built car is missing, spark plugs, it's just going to sit there, stuck. Or it's just missing fuel injection, even small things, it's going to sit there, stuck. And so we need this help to move forward. Raymond Aron said something that had just really, really stuck with me. He says that what percentage of goals do people accomplish? And the answer he proposes is 0% or 90%, and not much in the middle. Either we just never, ever get to it, or we do 90% of it, stop. And the reason, he says, is that goals by definition are beyond us. We've never done them before. So either we continue to not do them, or we do the 90% that we can do by ourselves and then run into a wall there. So if our goals are at 0%, then, you need someone to draw us into the action, right? And if our goals are at 90%, we need someone with a needed experience and expertise to help us out here. I used to think the more accomplished I got, the less help I would need. And what I'm finding is the more accomplished I get, the further out I am and the more help I need because I'm in unfamiliar territory here. So this is a really important thing to start in our role of understanding. Believing otherwise will keep us stuck, okay? Because we'll be trying to solve the wrong problem. And because we're trying to solve the wrong problem, we'll talk about this a lot more next week, because we're trying to solve the wrong problem, we're looking outside for solving this inside, we blame other people, or we blame other situations. And so we create a whole new problem. There's a nice little circle. Max Simon talks about this, or Seth Godin, I forgot which, maybe one or the quoted the other. A nice circle of leading from actions to experiences to beliefs, and it's self-reinforcing. Because whatever we believe to be true is what we base our actions upon. And then our actions are what determines our experiences. And then what we experience then determines our beliefs. So unless we come in and change these, we just have a self-perpetuating cycle. It's self-reinforcing. And it obscures the justification that Frost is talking about. So that's what I mean by understanding. The first thing we need to do is truly understand what the situation is. Then from that second part, then we get into awareness, okay? And awareness is really where we want to go. There are three important aspects of mastery. And the first is awareness, who we really are, including all the possibilities. Until we're aware, we really can't do anything. And the next mastery is transformation. A transformation of what? Often people are scared of transformation. Transformation, in the sense of a spiritual warrior, is a transforming hell to heaven. Situations that aren't working to situations that work well. And the third mastery is to act with intent. Instead of blindly, instead of reaction, to act with intent. And we're going to talk a lot about levels. We're going to just set the foundation today before we get into them over the next few weeks. But I want to throw this out there, that intention in this sense means the same thing as love. That love and intent are the same. That is the same force. Those of you who joined me for the talk on the Tarot, one thing that the Tarot stresses repeatedly is the importance of this triangle, that will and intuition are balanced opposites that have to operate under the umbrella of awareness. So awareness at the top of the triangle, intuition on one side, will on one side. And if you look at this for a while, you realize that we tend to, and we know people who try to focus on just parts of this, okay, where we have really strong will and try to force things into being, and we miss a lot of the important messages. Or people who work entirely or mostly from intuition, but trusting only intuition and kind of never really putting that into will, and both with no awareness, it needs to be all three things in balance. And so that's our starting point here of coming to an understanding, and we'll head it out into awareness. So before I get too far into covering the basics of the journey, see if anybody has any questions here, or how is that landing for folks? So let me just unmute everybody. Any thoughts so far? Questions? We're with you.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Go, Tim.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Great.
Tim, what were the three again? So will, intuition, and what was the third one?
Awareness.
Awareness. Okay, thank you.
Right. Awareness at the top, intuition and will underneath it, like a triangle.
And between understanding and transformation is what is our middle ground? Where do we go from understanding?
Okay, so for understanding, this is just appreciation of that our perceived reality and reality are not the same. Until we get that part, we're stuck. And then once we get that part, we can move into first awareness, and then transformation, and then finally intent. Is that making sense?
Yes.
Excellent. I think as I'm going through this, I'm thinking deciding to do transcripts was a really good choice. So I may think differently when I'm adding to it. Okay, well, if everybody's good, I think I'll go back then. And, okay, then I want to talk next then about levels of being and raising vibration. And some of you have seen this, but if you haven't, and I'll put it in the transcript as well, but I put a link in the Reconnective Journey Facebook page so you can take a look at this with me if you wish. And hold this up here myself. So, first, I just want to explain what's here and what I'm talking about before we get into addressing it. So on this chart, you can see that there are seven levels of being, and they are starting with the physical, the lowest, and then the astral, or emotional, the mental, the buddhic, okay, and then the atma, the anupadaka, and the adi. So, hang on, I'm just a little trouble here. Okay. And I'll explain those in a little bit, but first I want to talk about what it means to raise vibration, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding here. So one way to think of these levels of being is like states of matter. If you're looking at the chart, you can see this is, of course, all in the physical realm. But it's kind of the same process. You know, the difference between, or the difference among water and ice and steam is, you know, the temperature But what does the temperature do? Well, it's the level of excitement of the atoms, okay? It's this level of vibration. And slowing down at the ice level. And very slow at the ice level. And then they're more excited, there's more heat, and we have water, and then steam. And if we superheated steam, we would get plasma, that little stuff that looks like electricity, if you've ever played with a plasma globe. We can see this in action in anything. So, for example, glass is one of my favorite examples. Glass is actually a supercooled liquid. Supercooled that it's flowing extremely slowly. In fact, if you go look at the windows in a very old house and you look carefully, you'll see that the glass at the bottom of the window is thicker than the glass at the top of the window. And what's happening is literally the glass is flowing out of the window pane just extremely slowly. So we usually, when people think of raising vibration, they're thinking of, you know, increasing up to a higher state of matter. But I want to explain this in a different way that maybe can make some sense. If you think of the electromagnetic spectrum, okay, a whole bunch of stuff fits on the electromagnetic spectrum. So light, color, sound, radio, TV, X-ray, gamma rays, all of these and more are part of the electromagnetic spectrum. They're all the same. They're all part of the same thing. The only difference is the frequency that they're vibrating at. In the same way that if we, you know, orange is a faster vibration than red, we don't think, though, that color and light are the same thing. Radio and color are the same thing. Gamma rays and sound are the same thing at different frequencies, different parts of the spectrum. We experience them very differently, in the same way that we experience ice and water very differently. But it's a matter of changing frequency. You know, how come when you turn on the radio, it isn't just a mess? Well, because you tune into a specific frequency. And this also affects our reality. How is it that gamma rays just shoot through the Earth? Because at that high frequency, there is no Earth. It's too slow a vibration for the gamma rays even to recognize this. Einstein talked about this quite a bit on reality, that literally you could change, that we could have several different worlds and peoples at several different speeds in the same space, and we wouldn't be aware of it because we're at different frequencies. And Einstein stressed that we are nothing but vibration, energy, and frequency. Nikola Tesla stressed the same thing. Napoleon Hill, who I had always overlooked for a long time because he wrote the book called Think and Grow Rich, and it just sounded like a get-rich book to me until I read it. But Napoleon Hill, who worked closely with Andrew Carnegie and interviewed several hundred extremely famous and successful people, that book is a book about vibration, and that's his whole message, is that you have to send out the right vibration. And that you have to, and with a sensible plan. But he saw this as crucial, this very practical book. It's all about frequency and vibration. And I mention this because once you're talking about reality and understanding and awareness, it's what we are. We are not this simple fixed thing. We are energy, frequency, and vibration. Everything is. So, you know, if we're not fixed, then how come we can't just easily change things? Fritjof Capra, the physicist who wrote Tao of Physics and The Turning Point, says that's because matter exists in, energy exists in probability patterns. This is why atoms have certain orbits and so forth instead of just flying about. So why can't we just change it? It's a pretty simple explanation. He says, well, because probability patterns are difficult to change. And, you know, so we're the very definition of stuck. It's the nature of our energy. So on this same thing, the electromagnetic spectrum, understand that when we're talking about the reconnection and esoteric things, that light is information. We think of these as two different things. Science uses light as information. One of the uses of lasers is to send information. You send like hundreds of phone calls on a beam of light. Bruce Lipton's work with cells, though, the cells communicate through light washing through the body. If you've ever read Lynn McTaggart's The Field, a book I recommend, incidentally, one of the many experiments that she talks about there is a Popkin puts us in a very extremely dark room, and you can actually measure the light that we emit. You literally are light. So these are not metaphors, then. Like, light is information. Light is life itself. Love and light are the same thing. Love is life itself. All the same continuum, just like the electromagnetic spectrum. There's no separation, though we might experience it differently, right? Ice is not separate from water. It is water. It might be ice at the water at the moment, but it's not, you know, suddenly not water just because it's ice. It's still part of the ice. So in the reconnection, we're dealing with very high frequencies, bands of high frequencies, which accounts for the rapid change. Things just shoot through what would normally be mental barriers. And why focus on mental barriers? Because this is where our ego primarily hangs out, these mental barriers. Okay? This is why we have sudden flashes of insights, why we can suddenly be aware and suddenly get new information we didn't have before. It's because of these high frequencies. William Tiller, who's one of the scientists who have been doing experiments about this, even talks about a magnetoelectric field spectrum, which he describes as accounting for the fact that reconnective healing frequencies get stronger with distance. Fascinating stuff. But my point is this. All this is one. Not in a sitting around the campfire in lotus positions, singing kumbaya sense, but literally, all is one. Literally, everything is light. And literally, the only reason that we experience different things is by focusing, by where we tune in, by focusing our attention. You know, it's kind of like a party. Like, how do you happen to notice one person at a party, and how can you understand what they're saying in the middle of all this noise? It's where you focus your attention. Or if you're really focused on one particular issue, or you're looking for something in particular and you're out about in the world, you can recognize these things just pop out of you from the landscape, and it's because that's where your intention, that's your attention is focused. So, you know, we say that, well, I just happened to find it. Well, you were tuned into it. And in that same way, you know, it's the importance of tuning into our vibrations to get what it is that we're looking for. So let's take a look at these levels of being then. So what I want to stress about these levels is that they are not separate. Usually we talk about them as if they are, you know, Russian nesting dolls, whether we suddenly jump from one to the other. They are not sudden changes. They are a spectrum, a continuous spectrum that is interconnected. And we can see this at basic levels. So, for example, the bottom two planes, right? If you are mentally upset or emotionally upset, you just take a deep breath. And you just take a couple slow, deep breaths. Your mind starts to relax. Your emotional state starts to relax. There's one has the effect on the other. Similarly, if you're emotionally upset, you know, it'll create tension in your body. If you are mentally stressed, the same thing. It'll create tension in your body. So it's not a matter of which are the best planes. What I stress is that they are simply all interconnected, and that lower isn't necessarily bad, and higher isn't necessarily a solution. When I hear people talking about raising vibration, it's like they're trying to reject the physical, and this is just not practical. and maybe not even wise. I compare it to if you're trying to lift a very heavy log and you're lifting it from only one side. And you go, oh, okay, I'm trying to lift it from one side. That's the problem. And so you run over to the other side and try to lift it from the other side. You have the same problem. That's how I see people sometimes when they're approaching this issue of trying to raise the vibration. They see it as a rejection of the physical. And I really want to counter that understanding of raising vibration. There is nothing wrong with physical energy. There is nothing smarter about the mind than the body. They're just different. I'm sure many of you have had experiences where something happened and your body reacted much faster than you mentally processed it, and your mind only caught up later, for example. You know, or you just have the feeling that something isn't right, or you feel something before you actually figured it out. The body does all kinds of things on its own that the mind can't, has nothing to do with. You know, you can use your will and try to enforce it, but only up to a point. You know, if you try to hold your breath until you pass out, it won't take long, 3 or 4 minutes, before your body, you know, tells you what you can do with that plan and starts breathing without you. So these things rather are go together. And nor does it mean that, you know, wonderful experiences are the realms of higher planes, okay? We know what great feeling emotions are like. Abraham uses the example when talking about the vortex of how we feel when, after really great sex with someone you love. It's we're in the vortex in that moment. You're in timelessness. You're in the now. You're in total appreciation, no gratitude of everything that you are. I want to get rid of this idea of like getting rid of lower vibrations in favor of higher ones. What I do want to stress, though, is the quality of those vibrations, the coherence of it. So back to the analogy of light. So if you think of a light bulb, energy is just dispersed in all directions, okay? And it gets weaker, and it's just, other than shedding a lot of light in our room, it's not a very efficient use of energy. Versus a laser, where the energy is very focused. Even a 5-watt laser will burn a hole through the wall because that energy is very, very focused. And so it's not a matter of leaving lower vibrations. It's a matter of coherence, of getting these different levels to vibrate coherently, harmoniously. Hazrat Inayat Khan, the Sufi musician, in his book on music, writes that people are like tones. You know, we have our own sounds and our own vibrations. And sometimes, just like tones, you put two tones together and they sound very harmonious together. And sometimes you put two tones and two people together and it clashes. And then sometimes you add a third one to the clash and then it makes this really nice, colorful chord that sounds just pretty again. It's that coherence. It's how these things work together that's important. And the only problem is this this middle of our plane. So looking at the seven planes here, I just noticed I didn't jot this down, so let me explain this in my notes, I mean. We are the bottom five planes, if you're looking at this chart, okay? We have a physical body, we have an emotional body, we have a mental body, we have a spiritual, voodoo body, and then we have the Atma, which is the highest. And then the top two are manifestations of the divine. So the top one, the divine, the second one, forms, and so forth, and our light, and then in Atma we start to have forms. So there's this overlap. So our human existence, we have these five levels here, okay? The highest being the Atman, which is Nirvana. The middle one is where the ego likes to hang out, okay? All of our different thoughts, our minds. Now, I not want to trash the ego. The ego is important. It protects us. If we didn't have that sense of separation, we would be faced with all of cosmos all at once, and it would be overwhelming. We need the ego to slow things down. But the ego is jealous, and the ego is defensive. The ego, even though it's a tool, wants to pretend that it is reality itself, that it is being. And this is where we get fear. Okay. The ego, it's just a mask, but it wants to be reality, and it's afraid of being thrown off its throne. So it separates us from love. It separates us from the reality of our being. Back to Frost's poem, why the problem with perception? It's totally ego. I want to see myself as making really, really smart decisions, and I did something nobody else did. I traveled this untraveled path, and that's what made me what I am today. And the reality is it was a bunch of small choices that I made on not very much information that made him what he is today. So consequently, the ego can prevent us from new experiences because the ego sees new experiences as hard to control and tries to force what new experiences that come anyway into preconceived boxes. And so there's a recipe for why we're stuck right there. It's totally a function of ego. Trying to do the job of the entire being when it is just one aspect of being. Okay? And this leads me to where I was going with this, the fiction of the comfort zone. So because of the ego is trying to protect us, there is no comfort zone. It's an imaginary construct. And the ego sets about constructing, manufacturing from what I call the should factory. This is how things should be. These are functions of ego, trying to force experiences into its own perceptions. This is why, when things are wonderful, there's a crash. Why is there a crash? It's like the ego just can't accept just hanging out here in pure, nice, spiritual vortex timelessness. So we start, what if this, and we start crashing in again. All right, this will be a good place to come up for air for questions again. So let me unmute everybody. Okay, so again, I'm just trying to set the basis here before we really get into the overview. So let me just see if anybody has any questions. Or if everybody go to sleep.
So you said the ego is at the mental level?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We are what we think, right?
Yeah.
Which if you look at all the things that Buddha says about mind, you'll see what the overlap there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think I've been figuring that part out somewhat, and this really clarifies it for me. I see how much of my life I've spent in that mental space. It was almost like a construct of society, an expectation that that's the direction we would go in, or at least in my world, that's where we would go in.
Sure.
And learning how to break that down has been a lot of work. Yeah, I really see what you're saying about the ego and how it affects us. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, thanks. We're a culture of individualism,
mm-hmm.
and so we pride ourselves on egos. Any other thoughts? Is this landing for people? Is everybody still with us here?
Yes.
Okay,
good.
Great. All right, then. Home stretch here, then. Okay, so here's what we're going to do about this. I had always heard of Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey as a kind of a template for writing stories, fictions, movies. Until I sat down and read his book, The Hero's Journey of a Hero with a Thousand Faces. And it is a wonderful, thorough research of culture, psychology, noticing that going back to Freud's work, going to back cultures around the world, our myths have a pattern, that the dreams that people had was a pattern, the psychoses that people had a pattern. And he put these together and identified these patterns. So the hero's journey works like this. And hero, I mean hero, not, hero, heroine, no gender intended here, but I'm using Campbell's words. So the first thing that happens in the hero's journey is, like us, we are in the ordinary world. And the ordinary world is not perfect. We're stuck. You know, there are complaints. But it's also not horrible. It's just kind of like, well, you know, it could be better, but it is what it is, and you just sort of deal with it. And you think, for example, Harry Potter living in the cupboard under the stairs, you know, at his uncle's. It's not great, but, you know, he's warm, he's dry, he's fed, it's a home, he's safe. Or Luke Skywalker living on this sandy planet with his aunt and uncle, and you know, they're taking care of him. He's got projects he's working on for fun, but it's kind of dull working around the farm. But it is what it is. And, or Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit, right? He's in the Shire, and everything is fine in its proper place, but nothing also ever happens. And then what happens is a call to adventure. You know, there's the ordinary world finally gets shaken up, and we're moving forward. And so Harry gets all these letters from Hogwarts and by owl mail, and Luke Skywalker is cleaning up this old droid, and suddenly there's this hologram and this message from Princess Leia. Or Bilbo comes home, and there's he sees Gandalf, and who's always brings a little excitement, and suddenly there's these 12 dwarves on this big adventure, and they want him to be the burglar. And so you think the story would get rolling, right? But no. What does our hero do? Our hero does the same thing we do. Refuses the call. You know, nope, you're not going to Hogwarts. And like, well, that's that. And so he goes back to the cupboard under the stairs. Or Luke goes and talks to old Ben and goes, what does he do? He goes back home to his aunt and uncles. Bilbo waits for the dwarves to leave, and is just relieved they've cleaned up, and finally things are back to normal again. You know, this is what we do. We hear the call to adventure, and it's excited, and we want to go, but then we go, you got the wrong person, and, I don't know. We start making excuses, and because our egos, not here in the sense of pride, our egos want things to stay the same. Because it took a long time to construct this imaginary world that we call ordinary. We want to keep it like it is. And it is only the entrance of the influence of an outside mentor that changes this. So in Harry's case, Hagrid shows up. In Luke's case, Obi-Wan Kenobi. In Bilbo's case, it's Gandalf. And it's the mentor that convinces our hero to cross that first threshold. And it does that through one or more of these three things. The mentor will bring special powers, okay? Or tell them you have special powers. You know, Harry, you're a wizard. You know, no, you got the wrong man, Harry. Haven't you ever made strange things happen? In your case, your special powers are the reconnection. Gee, suddenly I have all this new energy. New things are happening, right? You have an increased coherence of energy. The mentor can also bring special knowledge, especially special knowledge of self. You know, Luke, your father was a Jedi. Harry, you're a wizard. Or Bilbo, even. You know, Gandalf tells him he's a disappointment because his ancestor, the Tooks, they loved adventure, and he learned something about himself. Or a magical gift. You know, a wand, a lightsaber, finding your spirituality. And so this is kind of the process of what we're doing right now with the reconnection and going over special knowledge and going over how to use that knowledge as a special gift before we cross the first threshold. So today is only the beginning. We're not going to cross the first threshold today. We're setting a foundation. Why? Because if we tried to cross the first threshold, the first thing we do is have all kinds of fears and reactions and shut that off. And some of you have been communicating with me since your reconnection, you know, some of those things exactly. It's a very common human reaction from our egos. So, but the a couple things to understand here. Crossing that first threshold is only the beginning of the adventure. Okay? There'll be many more other thresholds. And I want to stress that. I'm not trying to increase the fear level here, but crossing that first threshold, it's only the first threshold. There will be many thresholds to cross. So, a couple things to understand then. We're going to need special powers and special knowledge and magical gifts. We need things to bring with us because crossing thresholds is going to become something that happens routinely. But we also ought to understand that this, the hero's journey, this is a must journey, not a maybe journey. Why? The comfort zone is a fiction. We are already on this journey. You know, I love what Alex Baisley says about growth. You know, it's like we're trees. Can you imagine an oak tree going, oh, I know I've been growing for some years now, and I think I'm done now. I'm just going to freeze. You know, it would be ridiculous. You can't do that. And if you try to do something to keep a tree from growing, it'll just grow around it and grow what it has to do to grow in twisted ways. And that's really the number one reason. You know, why would I leave my comfort zone and take this? First of all, the comfort zone is a lie. It doesn't exist. But second, if we're going to grow anyway, and if we try to stay in the comfort zone, we're going to grow in twisted, distorted ways. Versus, if we take our gifts and we take our knowledge and we take our true selves, our true powers, and cross those thresholds, well, then we remove obstacles and we grow as nature intended us to grow. Remember my mission from the start. We are meant to be happy and healthy. I have learned so much about the natural state of health over the last 2 years. Much of this I'm going to share with you much later in this journey. But that is the key understanding today, of where we are, what we need, and getting ready to do that journey. And so these are the tools that I want to put in place. So let me just kind of preview a little bit where we're going with this. And let me just pull this up real quick. So today, just want to make sure that we're on top of all these concepts before we jump in. And in a minute, we're going to put together the tools that we're going to be needing. Okay? As soon as I can get my web page to behave here. It keeps jumping without me. And I don't know why. So next week, we start the journey, starting with the physical, and on the threshold. So we're going to begin our journey at the slowest vibration. Why are we going to begin at the slowest vibration? So we can tell what's going on. So we're not trying to, you know, deal with mystical things and, geez, did that really happen? Did I just imagine that? And so forth. We're dealing things that we can touch, see, things that we readily understand. Still trying to get this off for me. And each week we'll add a little more. So we can use the physical world as a mirror of ourselves, of our vibration. And we'll talk about how to do that, how to do it effectively. How do we move the law of attraction from a nice idea to physical reality? We'll begin really true self-discovery. In this regard, I keep losing the place. I was just jumping around for some reason. How do we bring spiritual energy into this physical plane? How can we? This is really driving me nuts. It won't sit still. How do we overcome restrictions and realize abundance? How do we bring spiritual energy into daily physical existence? How can we recognize, read, and use the spiritual energy available to us in every moment of every day? And as we become aware of these things, we'll begin to raise our vibrations. And so from so that's next week, and then each we're going to be going up a plane each week. So in week three, we'll be looking at the emotional plane, the astral plane, and myths and realities about that plane and how to deal with emotional energy. Week four, we'll deal with thought energy. And in each case, it's not like we're going from one to another with abandoning it, but we're building on top of it. So we have like an ever-growing pyramid that's continually moving forward. And this will give us a solid foundation so that when we get to week five in the world of spirit, we'll have some pretty solid understanding and changes and perception to bring into our look at the world of spirit. And then in week six, when we raise our vibration to the level of awareness, instead of being some mystical, very separate idea that maybe, you know, in 10,000 lifetimes we can become a Buddha, we'll have something where, no, we can actually get very clear glimpses of that energy and to move forward from there, from that understanding. And this is the highest understanding that we can have as human beings and still remain human beings. This is not the pinnacle, but then in week seven, we'll go back to coherence. How do we get all this functioning together? And then we'll talk about the true definition of health and healing and changing our perspectives of health and healing and how to live in evergreen health and what that means. And then in week eight, we look at, okay, now that we have significantly changed our awareness and our transformation and our intent back to the ordinary world, how do we make that return journey? How do we master this living in two worlds, this being able to see through this myth of the comfort zone of the ordinary world in a way that works well, that brings the rest of us together? So that is an overview of the reconnected journey. So let me pause once more then for questions. And before I get into the tools we'll need and our homework. Yes, there's homework. I didn't tell you that, did I? Okay, any questions?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, then. Here's the homework. So the first thing you need to do is, the idea isn't to, sorry, I forgot I need to be over here to dictate. The first thing we need to do is we're going to go into a world that's going to threaten our egos. Is that we need a better guide than our egos. We need a guide that is more comprehensive than just that one narrow level. Okay? And so it's extremely important, it's fundamental, that we go into this journey. This is not a nice touch. This is an essential. This is one of those things that we need, you know, from our mentor, is a daily spiritual practice. Now, this doesn't mean religion necessarily. It doesn't even mean belief in anything necessarily. So let me just bear with me while I explain this. This is equally true. This works equally well, even if you're a total atheist and don't believe in anything. That's not a problem here. That's not what I'm talking about. So there's two parts here. The first part is to get at the truth of what is real for you, of what you do believe, or what is true. Now, usually, as soon as you talk about something spiritual, there'll be a certain number of people who have faith they're already attached to, and that's great. And there'll be a certain number of people say, oh, you know, the God thing, here we go again. There was, you know, all these things that religion has done bad, or all these different things, reasons that people abuse spirituality. And I want to stress that I'm not talking about any of those things. In fact, all of those things are completely irrelevant, because all of those are things that you don't believe. Okay? I just spirituality has left a bad taste in my mouth over the years. It's like, here's what you do. You get whatever negative experiences you've had, and you get them in the room with you, and you say, okay, you know what? Thank you for bringing me up through childhood. I appreciate your efforts. You're fired. It's time for you to go. I don't need your services. Just get rid of that stuff. I don't care what you don't believe. That's irrelevant. That's not the stuff that's real for you. That's the stuff that's not. Ditch it. And sit down and, for you, sketch out whatever in the universe does it for you. Okay? So now if you're already comfortable with something, you know, with some version of God or some spiritual established spiritual practice, great, go with it. You're good. But if not, you know, so for me, when I first came into this, I had challenges in this area, and shall we say, and for me, I was comfortable with the idea of Taoism. You don't have to be. That's what worked for me. What I liked about it was that I was willing to admit that there was some sort of order, some sort of flow, some sort of life force. And Taoism I like because it's the Tao Te Ching starts with, what is Tao? We don't know. We call it great. And that's all they do with it, just acknowledge it. But that doesn't even matter. If you are someone who feels, you know what, not even that, but, you know, nature's real, okay, fine. Or if you go like, you know, the universe is just a random place, okay, fine. What I'm saying is, whatever is the baseline truth for you, even if it's next to nothing, you know, what I'm asking you to is not to adopt any beliefs or not to follow any path. What I'm asking you to do is get honest with yourself about what you think, about what you believe. Not what somebody else told you, not what somebody else did wrong, but for you, find whatever it is for you that, okay, this for me is, you know, the rest of that stuff is crap, but this for me is true, okay? This part is good, and you need to find that, however small it is. That's the first part. Then the second part is, once you find that, this really rings true, okay? This at least I can live with, and comfortably. Your next step is to construct a daily practice around that. Now, this can be extremely minimal, 10, 15 minutes, fine. I'm good with that. But it needs to be a daily practice, and I'll explain in a minute why. So this might be, for example, like one of the things I did when I was new to this was there's actually a wealth of daily readings, 365 books on Taoism. I got one at the time and just read that every morning. Or even if it's meditation, I used to do a meditation at night where I was just like slowly untangle myself from things that had come up during the day. But it doesn't matter if you're like, you know, I'm just... nature's real and that's it. Great. Grab yourself a cup of tea and decide what time of day you're going to do this and go out and sit by your favorite tree for 10, 15 minutes. It doesn't matter. Or even if, like, you know, nothing's real, it's all just random. Okay, go draw yourself a little sand drawing for 5 minutes and then destroy it to remind yourself everything is random. But some sort of practice is meaningful to you that emphasizes that it's a daily reminder that of the part of life that is baseline truth for you. That's what I mean by a spiritual practice. Now, with that all explanation, you're like, Tim, I'm just going to sit down and pray to God if that's okay with you. Okay, cool. whatever is good for you, okay? We'll talk about the whole range of spiritual experiences much later in the course. But here's why you need this. This is not a nice touch. This is a must-do. So you leave your comfort zone and cross these thresholds, a whole bunch of stuff is going to come up. And your ego is going to fight it. And you're going to fight it hard. And you're going to come across fear, and it's going to bring up a whole bunch of other stuff. You need a daily centering practice like this, number one. That's the first reason. So every day starts with this touchstone. So let's say, for example, this daily Taoist rhythm in the morning, okay? And I would recommend strongly you do it at the same time every day. So read this reading, and I have a certain peace and calmness around this, and then my day can go wonderful, it can go horrible, it can do all kinds of stuff. But the next day starts here again, like a touchstone. And then the day goes wonderful or horrible or zooey, and then the next day starts here at my touchstone. And instead of stuff building and building and building and building the way that it does, right, when we say, oh, God, I need a vacation, right? That didn't happen in a day. Every day starts back at the baseline. And it starts back at the baseline that is truth for you, as you yourself define it. Do that every day. Okay. Throughout this course, certainly, I'm going to invite you strongly to do that for at least the next 90 days, and I'm guessing that on day 91 you'll want to keep going. If you do this every day and never ever skip it, it will build. Your understanding of truth will build. Instead of focusing on all the distractions that build, you already know how that works. Your understanding of what's true will build in ways that you cannot imagine until you do this. I cannot believe the way my spirituality and understanding exploded when I started with 365 Tao reading every morning without fail. It will change things. It will change things dramatically. And so whatever it is for you, that's the most important part of your homework, is to get honest with yourself about what's baseline truth. Find yourself a design for yourself, a daily spiritual practice that is easy enough and short enough in a time of day that you'll actually do it every day and then do it. That's extremely important. You're going to need that. Without the protection of your ego, you're going to need the protection and have something else. So that's number one. Any questions about that?
No.
Now that I've ranted about it. okay. And that's the hardest part of the homework. The rest is easy. Second piece of the homework I'd like you to do is, in fact, I'll tell you why 2 and 3 are on this list, is I'm midway through revising my book, Getting Unstuck. And Getting Unstuck is a book I sat down to record all the extremely practical things that I wanted to share with people after the economy tanked in 2007, and I saw people struggling and feeling that they were stuck at their jobs, and having, you know, been in consulting and business writing and a number of things, I knew that they weren't stuck, and so I wanted to share with them why not. And then I got from there to all the other ways that people are stuck. Things that they complained about, spiritually, emotionally, relationships, health, and all sorts of things. And then when I got all my notes down and I finished the book and I started going through the draft and pulling out key concepts so I could organize chapters and sections and do nice summaries of the book, I came to a revelation that just floored me. And again, I want to stress that every part of this book was built to be bottom line practical. This has worked. This does work. It's working now. You know, tried and true, tested. And what I found, though, was that when I abstracted the key principles, that the key principles in every section and the key principles in every chapter and the key principles of the entire book are to get unstuck, be grateful, and do what you love. And it's not a cliche. It's not a platitude. Those are the key baseline principles. Be grateful. Do what you love. So that's these next two pieces of homework. I'd invite you to every day, at the end of the day, grab yourself a notebook and just take 5 minutes. You don't have to make a big deal of this. I would rather it be short than not done. And just jot down things that you're grateful for. And please just do it every day, at least for the duration of the journey. 5 minutes would do it. If you can't think of anything, start with the A's and go through the alphabet. This is very important. We'll talk later about why it's important when we get into a couple of other areas. But it's so important. The spiritual practice and the gratitude is so important that I wanted to start it now. That's really things that we're going to need grounded. And then the second part of that, what do you love? here's what I would like you to do for this. Write down in two parts. First of all, write down the things that you want. Okay? Just what is it you want? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And so maybe, what I want is I want to earn X number of dollars next year. Okay? And then ask yourself, why do you want that? And it could be any number of reasons. So this is the reasons for you. So, okay, I want to earn X number of dollars because I'm competing with my dad, or because I want to build a cabin in the woods, or because I want to go to college, or because it makes me feel secure, or whatever the reason is. And then, whatever the reason you wrote down, ask yourself, well, why do you want that? So maybe, okay, I want to feel secure. Why do you want to feel secure? What does that do for you? Why is that important? If I felt secure, then I would be free from fear, okay? And then you keep going. Why do you want to be free from fear? Well, if I were free from fear, then I wouldn't be held back from doing some of these things, okay? So why do you want to do some of these things? Well, if I could do some of the things, I could do this and this. And you're going to notice that your list, instead of getting narrow, starts getting bigger. And you're going to find that you start getting honest with yourself about what you want, which you would think is obvious, but you'll find it's not true. And do at least six whys, although I would suggest that you keep going until you find, you'll know when to stop. And then do the same thing with what do you love? What are the things that you truly love? And then ask yourself, why do I love this? What does it do for me? Okay? And then keep going through the whys. Well, why do you love that? What does that do for you? And why do you love that? And really get into the heart of what are the real things that we want and what are the real things that we love. And here's why. You wouldn't think so, but one of the reasons that we have so much trouble getting what we want is that we don't know what it is. And it sounds silly, but it's really true. And second, it's just like gratitude. What we love is the foundation of moving forward. And we want to get at the heart of that. So the daily spiritual practice, gratitude list, even if it's 5 minutes at the end of the day each day. And then sometime this week, what is it you want? Why? What is it you love? Why? And one more piece of homework. And whatever situation you find yourself in that you're unhappy about, jot down, well, what's the good in this situation? And what's the good? I mean, what's the good for you? What's the good that you did? Even if the situation totally, totally stinks, or even if you're thinking, wow, I messed that up big time, there's something in there that you did right. As we start getting into this, it's going to be really easy to start to beat yourself up as we start uncovering stuff. And I want, right now, when any of those things happen, it's not true that those things are a big mess. There is much good that comes with this. And I want to stress the much good that comes with this right off the bat before we get into all this. And to start making that a habit right now, because you are truly wonderful people. You are truly amazing people from everything I know about you. So that's the required homework. That's probably plenty. I had two suggested homeworks if you want. One would be to keep a journal if you're a journal person, but this is going to be quite an experience if you think you'll keep up with that, but that's just suggested homework. And the second suggestion that I have is there's, you know, if you're going to have a lot of insights and ideas. And I actually learned this from Ryan Eliason. I love this. I love it. He says, keep a not doing now list, you know, instead of adding to our to-do list. So as I come up with really great ideas, instead of them bouncing around your head and getting yourself all jittery, put them on your not doing now list. They're down. You can go back later and maybe one day move them to your to-do list, but jot them down. Sequel to that, or corollary, I guess, rather, to that, I thought of the other day, and that's a follow-up list. I can think of all kinds of stuff that keep running around in my head that are simple enough, but I just never got done. And it occurred to me I should start a follow-up list and schedule myself a few hours for a follow-up manager to start going down that list. So just come out of a little place to put ideas. So those are just suggestions. But the required homework, daily spiritual practice, gratitude list, what do you want and why, what do you love and why, and what's the good about this? And this will set us up nicely as we start moving forward into that. Okay? Is that clear to everybody? Is everybody willing to do that?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. Because it's going to be and you know, don't load yourself up with something. Oh, you know, I'm going to like do this in a huge way. You need to keep doing this every day. So to keep it small enough and simple enough that it's not a problem to do. So that one day when you're running late, and you go, oh geez, you know, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to be 10 minutes later because I got to do this thing first, and not I can't do that because I can't do this for an hour. So keep it simple. Keep it simple. And next week we'll start getting into the lowest vibration, the physical realm. So mainly I just want to make sure everybody's got a good understanding of the basics and the overview here. And if you do, we'll segue into group healing then.
So, Tim, I have a question. I didn't take notes on what our homework. I was just mentally taking notes, but I would like to see it in front of me.
Yep.
So,
and you will.
Okay.
Yes, in two ways. I will post it in the Facebook group, and if I manage to turn these 12 pages of dictation notes into a transcript in the next few days, that will be in there as well. But I will post
just
in the
homework part, mostly.
Just the homework part, yeah. Absolutely.
And then my question is that Facebook group, I'm part of one, but it might be the Kuan Yin Healing. Is it a group just for us?
Yeah, the Reconnective Journey one is a group just for you.
Okay, great.
So we can go to Reconnective Journey, and then we can get to it from there?
And the welcome, the email that I sent you with the link to the welcome page.
Okay.
The link to the Facebook group is on that page, on the welcome page.
Okay.
TheReconnectiveJourney.com/welcome.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
And I would love for you to post in the Reconnective Journey group for each other what's going on and respond to each other. How's it going with the homework? What did you decide to do? What challenges and things? Congratulate each other. Start to create some community here. So to the extent that you're comfortable, if it's not incredibly personal, you know, if you could post at least the spiritual practice, and maybe some of the what you want and why's, and what you love and why's, or anything else that you, any thoughts that come up. It will be so much more powerful if we can get everybody sharing and talking to each other and following up, because for two reasons. One is that you have a group of people who understand and can both understand and help you through things, but also you will learn and understand a lot more by helping other people and supporting them as well. And this group, by the way, will be up for, you know, it's not coming down at the end of the session, so you will always have a place where you can interact with each other.
Excellent.
Okay. Great. All right, so any other questions? Okay, I have typically gone over again. this is okay. For those of you who haven't done this before, here's how group healings work. I actually will end the call, we'll say our goodbyes, and I'll do the healing off the phone, off the call, and I'll start just a minute after we end the call. And what I invite you to do is the same thing we've done before. Lay on your back with your eyes closed and your arms at your side, palms down. As long as that's comfortable, you know, if you have back issues, put your knees up, or had neck issues, put your neck up. And just let yourself relax and float. And I'll do the session for 30 minutes, and you can lay there for however long and share any feedback or questions in the Facebook group. I do see that, and so you can also just simply ask me questions right there, which would be great, versus doing it by email, because then everybody can benefit from the question as well. And again, hope we can create some community. All right?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Go team.
Thank you.
Yes. So, again, once more, thank you, everybody, for joining this. I'm really, really excited that you're all along for this journey. I have been looking forward to this for a long time, and I'm just so thrilled. Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.